Hi, everyone. Sorry about that. I am here at the retreat and my lunch just got delivered. It should have been delivered like 15 minutes ago. So I had to get up and answer the door, right? So here's how this works for all that might be new. If you will raise your hand, I will put you on the list to be coached. And when 2 hours is up, I'm back down to the retreat. So I'm here from now, which is noon central, until about 2 p.m. And we'll just start coaching one at a time. So if you'll go ahead and raise your hand, we'll get started. So I see Inna. I'm going to have to get you to make sure I'm pronouncing that right. And I'm bringing you on up right now. Hi.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. I'm in this lovely hotel room. So hopefully
beautiful.
Hopefully my internet stays nice and stable. So what's up with you today? What's going on?
So it's actually pronounced Inna, but
Inna. It's so pretty. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So I actually have two questions, but I'll just start with one. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about exercise.
Okay.
So here's where I'm at. I'm a January newbie and went in like gangbusters, did great on my plan, 24, like everything. And then, you know, things got a little challenging like they do. Mm-hmm. And I'm fully aware that when I exercise, it just has to be like a 30-minute walk or I have an elliptical, like anything. I feel better. I make better choices. Mm-hmm. But I'm finding it really hard to make that choice to use my elliptical to go for that walk. I'm finding I'm kind of white knuckling it. I've been trying to do some thought work. I've reviewed module 4 kind of before doing the intermittent one. Super, super helpful. So I know that Corinne talks about, you know, you do exercise when you're ready. But I really feel this is kind of a game changer for me. Like I have to find a way to do this.
Exercise?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But am I ready? Mm-hmm. Yes and no.
Tell me why yes and no.
My toddler comes in. I don't wanna. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. I don't wanna.
I'm not worried about your toddler. What else? Let me just tell you this, okay? I would call myself an exerciser and my toddler comes in. That doesn't mean I don't exercise. It just means I have that voice in my head that says, you'd really rather sit on the couch today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tell me why else you should eat.
It's just sort of this experience. Like, so I'm sitting here, I have the time. I'm like, okay, this would be a perfect time to go work out, or I can try to put it on my calendar. And it's almost, I mean, it's very, so there's a part of my brain that gets it, but there's a part of me that's like, I can't, there's like boulders tied to my legs that just will not get up and do it.
No.
I know, right?
Okay. So are you putting exercise on your plan?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm not sure I'm at 80% sure that I'll do it. Honestly,
what if you put 10 minutes of movement on your plan?
Yeah.
Could you find 10 minutes to walk the hallway at your house or around the block or hop on the elliptical and then level in? Maybe just twice or three times a week.
Mm-hmm. So is that start small kind of piece?
Yeah. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to discount the fact that, you know, I want to be sure that everyone who's listening to this does not hear me say you have to put exercise on your plan to lose weight. Okay. We're only talking about this because you're trying to decide if it's something you want to plan in your day.
And I get that. And I'm not doing it to lose weight directly. It's not a, oh my God, I have to burn calories. But I have found from a long time of trial and error that when I do some exercise, everything else in my life gets better.
Okay.
So
why don't you answer the toddler with that thought?
Okay.
So, okay, you're sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
Thought come by, I could exercise right now. Mm-hmm. Then you have the negotiating thought that says, right. I really want to sit here right now. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have the conversation in your head, right? Mm-hmm. If you stop the conversation with, I really just want to sit here, the exercise doesn't happen.
Right.
But if you take it to the next level and you say, I only plan 10 minutes, I can do 10 minutes, I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, you might get up and exercise. It's kind of just up to you and how you want to attack this. It's not one of the four basics, but right. It's something you've already decided makes you feel good.
Like, it's a basic for me. Like, I mean, I think maybe that's really the way, like, for me, mm-hmm. some movement is a basic, like, not because of calories or, you know, whatever. It's just nothing else happens well.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are some definite benefits to exercise, right?
Sure.
But again, you know, it's something that you have to decide whether or not you're going to do. And when you're going to do it, I think I would set an appointment with myself if that helps motivate you. Mm-hmm. I think if 30 minutes is doable for you, maybe that's the problem. Maybe 30 minutes, you know, three times a week or however many days a week you want to do it is not doable just yet.
Yeah.
Maybe you just need to start small and level in.
Yeah, I guess it's one of these, just have to find the, because it's, you know, some days when I'm kind of in an okay place, like 30 minutes is fine. Like, it's kind of the limit of what I can do, I think. But then there's days where like a minute is like, no, like putting on workout clothes is like a no. And a lot of the negotiation is the judging and very negative thoughts around that aren't helpful.
And it's the brain saying, I just want to sit on the couch. That's all it is. It's your brain just trying to talk you out of exercising.
I think there's a piece of it. I listened to Brooke's talk on discomfort this morning, actually on the elliptical this morning. Yay. Yeah. And it's fabulous. And I think it's part of it is just the fear of getting, like a fear of getting to a good place, right? Like a fear of getting to a growth place. So it's almost just that stuckness or the, like my primitive brain gets terrified of moving in the right direction in a way. I think maybe that's.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know. I just sort of came up with that.
That sounds to me like you just, I don't know. I have not listened to Brooke's podcast yet from this week because I've been here at the retreat.
Right.
But hearing you say that, it sounds like your primitive brain is just giving you an excuse not to exercise.
Pretty much.
If we don't do that, then, you know, I don't have to be uncomfortable on the elliptical for 30 minutes.
Right.
Right. And so that's why you start small and you put, you know, 10 minutes on your plan or whatever you want to put on your 15, whatever you want to put on your plan. And I'd even put on the plan when you're going to do it. Then it becomes, you know, if you've decided it's something good for you, then you can level it into being a non-negotiable. This is just what I've decided to do today. And I'm going to do it, you know, when this happens, you know, let's say you decide you want to do it after breakfast, before your shower. Mm-hmm. At breakfast ends, you know, you're going to hop on the elliptical for 10 minutes, then you're going to take a shower. Mm-hmm. Or you can trigger it by a time. You know, when my favorite show comes on at 7 p.m. tonight, I'm going to watch it while I'm on the elliptical.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Does that help?
I think so. I mean, I think it's just a lot of play with it. And
well, that's exactly what.
Right.
Figuring out, just like your food, figuring out what works for you. You've probably heard me talk about how I have a trigger for my thought downloads every day. Hmm. Okay? And that's when my husband is in the shower.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I know he's not going to be standing over me going, what are you doing? What are you writing about? What do we think about today? You know, time for peace, right?
Nice.
So that's my trigger for thought downloads is when Ken gets in the shower, I sit down and do my journal entry. Guess what didn't happen this morning? My thought download, because I'm here at the retreat and I don't have
a trigger.
So I have to find another time. I have to make an appointment with myself to say, you know what, I'm going to do my thought download. And I've decided I'm going to do it after this call before I go back downstairs, just to make sure I take care of myself.
Oh, that's
so good. Is it a basic? Is it one of the four basics? No, but it's something I know I need to take care of myself. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay. Can I ask you something else or should I? So something else that I'm finding is I've been doing the thought downloads every morning. It's fabulous. It's just mm-hmm. complete breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Something that, and so for this year, so I started in January and I'm very clear. I have three main goals for the year. So weight loss mm-hmm. has, that's a main goal. It's just what I'm focusing on. So this work, getting my head organized, the thought download is kind of related, but just outside of food as well. Mm-hmm. And three is a move. So my partner and I were looking to move to a different city. So we have to pick a city. So there's kind of a lot of going on there. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Super clear. Really, really get it. As I'm starting to get this work, kind of opening up possibility, right? Because I'm kind of used to being stuck in the food and all the drama around that. And what keeps coming up is restarting my business. And there's this kind of almost manic excitement about it. And I'm like, okay, great. Like, this is fabulous. Let's wait. That's not part of the main goals this year. And I'm having such a hard time postponing or focusing on the things that I'm very clear are the focus. Kind of trying to be like, hey, this is fine. You can do it later. Like, you can look at this now, but we're not focusing on this. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to get any thoughts you might have. I'm later struggling with that.
Tell yourself when it will be time to focus on your business. How about I'll focus on my business after I'm settled in the mood, or
right.
You know, on July 1st, I'll start focusing on the business again. That way you can still feel the excitement, but you know what the end game is going to be. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with feeling excitement about setting a goal. Okay. But the goal needs to be, and the goal in this case would be restarting your business. Let's just make it measurable. I'm going to start my business January 1st of 2020 or October 1st of 2019. This is when I'm going to start doing that work again.
Yeah.
Okay. Give yourself something to look forward to, you know, a date or a, you know, some other indicator after the move, after I'm settled, after, you know, whatever that is, then allow yourself the excitement knowing that it's going to come. It's just like planning an exception meal. Okay. I'm going to have ice cream on Saturday and I'm so excited that I'm going to have ice cream on Saturday. Right. So you look forward to Saturday in anticipation of that. If you have, well, today's Saturday, but let's say it's, you know, another day. If you have ice cream that's not on plan, it's not as exciting. It's not as anticipated. It's kind of like, well, there's that ice cream and I just ate it, which is what you're doing right now. There's that thought about my job and I'm not, you know, I know I'm not ready for that yet. So there's some angst along with that. I'm not ready to focus on that yet. I've decided to focus on something else. If you give yourself a timeline, then you can be excited because you know it's coming.
So I'm trying to refocus when there's time to pick an item, like looking at things related to the move. But then I'm sort of seeing, like, for example, instead of like my Hulu time, like let's do some research on job stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of afraid that it's taking the focus away, even though I guess I'm still doing what I said I would do. Like the weight loss, right? It's exciting. It's active, but it's also very passive. Like I'm sitting here losing weight.
So if you're thinking it's passive and it's distracting you from your other things, then when your brain goes there, say, I'm not ready for this distraction yet. You know, my focus is on this.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, Corinne talks about distracting yourself with Netflix,
right?
Distracting yourself with shopping or distracting yourself with eating. Maybe your job, maybe restarting your business is the distraction.
Oh,
right.
Maybe
from what your three primary goals are. So just tell yourself, we're going to do this. We're just not going to do it right now.
Yeah.
We're going to do this at this time. And I'm really excited about it. I'm ready for that. I'll be ready for that at that time, and I'll be able to devote all of my energy to that.
Yeah. Lots to play with. Thank you, ma'am. Enjoy camp. That's all.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye. All right, let's see who's next. Raquel? I see your car. Raquel, are you? Oh, wait a minute. What happened? Did you just mute yourself? I think you muted yourself and you turned your camera off. All right, Raquel, I'm gonna take you back down to attendee and let you get that figured out and call on the next person. I just saw someone, Alicia. So Raquel, when you've got everything all figured out there, go ahead and raise your hand again, okay?
Unmute.
All right. Hey, is Alicia correct?
That is correct. Hold on, let me sit. I was like in the middle of cooking everything. I like honestly didn't even think that I'd get called on. So I kind of forced myself to do this today.
Forced yourself?
I did. I forced myself. So I was doing good, obviously, in the beginning, September baby, and I am good at some of the four basics and not good at, right now I'm having troubles, I guess, right now following my plan, and my main trouble is binge eating.
Okay.
So I'm trying to work through that. I'm going to grab my phone because I actually did a thought download. Oh, it's in my pocket. So I actually did a thought download, and I'm not very good about doing them. And I think I fight them doing the thought downloads. I'm very good about writing my 24-hour plan. Some days I'm good at sticking to them. And then other days, it's once I go off a plan and I let myself go off, then it's like I get the big buckets. And I most of the time I go big off. It's not like just, oh, well, I just went off slightly. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I'm frustrated with it. And I want to figure out how to start doing the work to stop it, because I don't want to do this forever.
Okay. So have you listened to the Taking Control module in OBS?
I'm pretty sure. See, I was actually starting to re-listen to them all. So I started back at the beginning in January.
Okay.
So I want to listen to it again.
Okay. So is there a particular trigger or cue that leads you to overeating?
I feel like we're not allowed to say it, but a lot of time it's stress.
Stress?
Yeah.
And how often?
I feel like I'm getting like a little bit better at it. This week, I would say 2 days. I always start off good. I always have a good breakfast. Most of the time I'm good at lunch. And then it's usually afternoon or late afternoon where it starts. And then it just usually continues the rest of the night.
All right. So when you create your plan for the day, you create a plan that has breakfast and lunch and dinner on it. Any snacks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I always plan snacks.
Have you planned your overeats?
I have once or twice.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like when I plan extra snacks, it's like, well, I've given myself permission.
You have.
Yeah.
That's exactly
so then I, done. I feel like I eat it even though I
okay.
shouldn't. Like, it's like, well, you put it on your plan. So
well, that's the problem. Okay. What you're doing when you're exactly right when you say you're not following your plan. It's because you're not planning what you are probably going to eat anyway. All right. So the first thing you have to do when you're when you become successful at planning is plan, is make your plan doable. Okay. And if that includes planning an overeat, then that's what you need to do, because then you are teaching yourself that you're following your plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say, what's a typical overeat for you?
The other day it just didn't stop.
Okay.
It's usually
stopped. Let's just wait just a minute. You're not eating right now. So you stopped. Okay. So let's just say it's a box of cereal. All right. Let's just hypothetically say a typical binge for you is a box of cereal. Okay. You put the box of cereal on the plan. What you've done then is told yourself, I have planned this, so I can make a decision whether or not I'm going to eat it. I can eat it in response to stress, or I can choose not to, but the decision is there because I've planned it. That puts that decision in the decision-making part of your brain. Okay? If you don't plan it and you react to stress and you eat anyway, that reaction is in the habit part of your brain. Okay? And that habit part of your brain is the one going, we're stressed out, we need to eat. I don't care what the plan is, right? It's very reactive. But if you oh my goodness. I'm at the retreat, so people are.
That's okay. If mine rings, I gotta answer it too. I'm working. I do know, and in some of the thought downloads that I have done, and really trying to think about this, even if I don't write it, what I'm thinking down, I feel like a lot of times, like my binges are like little bits of stuff, and like I'll sit there and I'll debate, like, do I want this or do I want that, and then it's like, well, I'll just have a little bit of each, and I really feel like my binges are like I'm really trying to fulfill something. I'm like, I'm not satisfied. Like, I know if I just eat something else, then I'll be satisfied. And then it's like three more things and I'm still.
What does satisfaction mean?
I don't know. Like, I guess satisfaction means I'm not going to eat anything else until I hit my negative two.
Wait, say that again. Satisfaction means you're not going to eat anything else until you hit your negative two.
Yeah. Cause I'm in the middle of a binge. I'm like, I'm not hungry. I'm just looking something to satisfy me, like, so that I'll stop eating and then I'll wait until I'm actually hungry to eat again, rather than just like, I feel a lot of times my issue is I don't overeat in the sense like I'll like till I'm full, like stuffed. My problem, I think a lot of the time, is not waiting long enough to eat. Like, I don't wait long enough till I have my negative two.
You do that at lunch?
Most of the time I can wait till a negative two to eat lunch. And most of the time I can wait till pretty much like a negative one to eat breakfast. Sometimes I'll eat breakfast when I don't really consider myself a negative one, but then I'll take the steps to eat something a little bit less than what I pack, so that when it comes lunchtime, I'm hungry again.
Okay.
But for some reason, like after lunch, like snack or dinner, snack time. Sometimes, I mean, if I'm not binging, snack time, I can wait till a negative two. But then,
so what makes a snack different from a binge?
It's actually like a snack, like something small that's just going to hold me off till dinner, rather than just.
Does it start as a snack? Does your binge start with your snack?
Sometimes my binges start at like 1 or 2 o'clock when I'm like, I'm not hungry enough for a snack. I know, but I can't like get like, I feel like food, like something's going on, I guess, maybe. And maybe I'm stressed about something, or it goes to like satisfaction feeling. It's like, maybe I wasn't satisfied for what I ate for lunch.
That's so interesting. So I want you to define satisfaction for me. When you have that thought, I'm not satisfied, what does that mean?
To me, it kind of feels like an emptiness, or like not not hungry, but like not full.
So is it physical satisfaction
that I'm trying to fulfill? Mm-hmm. I would say probably. I don't know. Maybe it's mental. Maybe it's all in my head.
Well, if you eat breakfast to satisfied and you eat lunch to satisfied, but then you binge, is it physical satisfaction you're looking for or something else?
Well, I guess if I eat lunch to satisfaction, then it would not be physical satisfaction. It would have to be mental.
Let's say emotional.
Emotional.
I like that word.
Emotional satisfaction.
All right. So we're going to do a model here. And I don't have a whiteboard, but I do have a paper. So
I've never done a model before.
You haven't? Do you know how the model works?
I mean, I've watched some Zooms before and stuff like that, but
okay. So here's what we're gonna start with. Satisfied in the feelings line. Okay. When you feel satisfied. What do you do?
I'm sorry, my family's loud. What was that?
When you feel satisfied, what do you do?
I mean, if we're talking about food, if I feel satisfied, I just go on with my day, and I don't have the thought of food on my head, on my brain. Like, there are some days when, like, I don't feel satisfied. It's like I'm like, there's food in the other room, and I can't stop thinking about it.
Okay, no thinking about food. Anything else?
I mean, if we're talking about when I'm at work, I'm just working. I'm just
regular day working.
Yeah, just doing what I got to do to get stuff done.
Okay, so when you're not thinking about food and you're just working, it's just a regular day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll even call it, all right, so regular day. So the reason I started on the feelings line is because when you start on the feelings line and think about the actions that feeling creates, you also see the result that you've created. And that once you believe in that result, you know, this regular day, you can go back up to the thought line and figure out what the thought is that leads to you satisfied. Mm-hmm. So if you're having just a regular work day and everything's clicking and going well and you're feeling satisfied, give me one sentence, a one sentence thought.
About what?
About your day.
It's busy. I don't know.
Does busy lead to satisfied?
No, busy leads to satisfied, but busy leads to not having time to think about.
Oh. So you can't just say, this is a great day, or, you know, everything's clicking today, or, you know, the universe is right in my world today, you know, something like that. Nothing that doesn't lead to satisfied for you.
Well, see, that's where it's, I guess, not making sense, because that has nothing related to being satisfied. So why would I think that?
It does. If this is, I think you're doing is confusing physical satisfaction to emotional satisfaction. Yeah, I think what I'm seeing is that there is dissatisfaction, you know, whether it's emotional or physical, because you've told me you started a binge when you're not hungry. You're just looking for food because you're looking for satisfaction. So what are you looking to be satisfied about? Is it your day, your busyness, your kids, your husband, your well-being? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think there's multiple reasons why I binge.
Is it, so there's more than looking to be satisfied?
I would think so. I think that I binge when I'm stressed. I binge when there's things that I can't control.
When you can't control, why do you binge when you can't control? When you see things you can't control?
My husband and I own a business, and he, I think, gets more stressed even than I do. Mm-hmm. So I try to, like, I can't fix his stress because I can't help him out with the things that he's stressed about. I can only do my job. So I sometimes I feel like I will eat because of that. Sometimes I have no idea why I do it.
So in that case, are you binging because I just lost my thought. Are you binging because you don't want to feel his stress? Because you want to escape for a minute? Is the binge the escape?
Could be. Don't know.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to the taking control module in No BS. Okay? And I want you to, do you do thought downloads?
I need to work on them.
You really do. You really need to fit. You've told me a lot of different reasons for the binge,
yeah.
But you haven't, you know, you've told me a lot of different feelings, but you haven't figured out, you know, what your cues and your triggers are yet. Okay. Yeah. So we could go after, you know, one or the other or whatever, but I bet there's cues and triggers, you know, that you're going to have to discover by doing your thought downloads.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I was trying to remember what I, like I said, I was kind of proud of myself. I actually did one, but I need to do them more often.
When you read it back.
Yeah.
Does it, you know, are you surprised by anything you thought, or is it pretty?
I know towards the end, I was kind of surprised when I started writing down like how much food I had eaten. And then, I was getting like embarrassed writing it down, and I kind of like, I physically wanted to stop writing the food that I had eaten. And then it was like, then when I actually got finished doing that, there was like thoughts in my mind, well, like you've already eaten that much. Like, there's something else in the freezer that you just want to taste because you don't normally eat it and it's sitting there and nobody's going to know. And that was like, there was like the embarrassment.
That's the shame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so I actually copied and pasted it and sent it to my Marco Polo buddies. I texted it to them. I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't care if you read it or not. It was just like, I had to share it because I had to see that, like, show myself that it, even though it's just me, like, I have to be accountable to myself, but mm-hmm. I didn't want to have the embarrassment of thinking it was nobody was going to know. It was like, I had to share it so somebody else knew about it.
Well, it's actually a really great step to take when it comes to your binging. And that's another reason you plan your binge, is so that it's out in the open, because shame kind of dissipates after you talk about it. So shame exists in hiding. Okay.
Right.
Once you get on a Zoom call or you text your Marco Polo group or something like that, it shows that you're ready to work. Okay. You're ready. You know, you're ready to try and set that judgment aside and figure this out. All right. So that's why you need to go back and see if you can find your triggers and your cues. Okay.
Right. I started tracking my hunger cues, but mm-hmm. I will start tracking binge cues as well.
Right. So. I think that's what, definitely where I would start with you, and then come back to one of these office hours, okay. And with some more information, with some more stuff that we can help you work through.
All right. Can I ask you for a favor?
Absolutely.
So my Marco buddy, one of them, she's there. Mm-hmm. Julie, she had the crown on first thing this morning.
Julie.
So if you could tell Julie I said hi and I got on the Zoom call, she would be very proud of me.
I have no doubt.
And give her a big hug, because I've known Julie for at least 3 years, and she actually got me starting to listen to PMP and got me signed up for the tribe. We are Weight Watchers buddies. We just met through Weight Watchers. We don't live mm-hmm. anywhere near each other. We've been texting mm-hmm. each other for probably 3 years now. So give her a big hug for me.
I will.
All right. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. See ya.
Bye.
Okay, who's next? Melissa. Melissa, are you there? Oh, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Let me tell it. I don't want to think it. Can you see me?
Yeah.
I have a cold, so I'm hard to hear, so I apologize for that.
Oh, you're fine.
Anyway, I have been trying to follow along with this program, and it's a little overwhelming. Let me go upstairs because I know my husband is about to come in. But thought downloads, I do better with thought downloads when I get like really specific, like what happened right before I grabbed the bag of potato chips.
Okay.
So my partner at work like pissed me off. And so now I have to go to the vending machine and get a bag of candy because that's why I have to eat candy, right? So how do you stop? I know you're supposed to just stop, but that's the problem I'm having. It's like, how do you stop when you're in the middle of that rage? You know, it's like they made you mad. You can't say anything because it's work. So you decide to go for a walk and you go right to the vending machines. So how do you slow down enough to not put the money in the machine and gobble down the candy? That's what I'm really struggling with. How? And I know thought downloads are supposed to help, but it's like you need to catch it before you eat the food, right? So it's right. Like, what? That's what I'm really struggling with right now.
Do you do the model?
Yeah. I can do the model like the next. I can do the model later. I can't do the model at the moment. But I'm getting better at the model.
No, you can do the model in the moment. You're just not doing the model in the moment.
Oh, you can? Because it just seems like.
That's an excuse.
Okay. So.
Okay.
It's an excuse. Okay.
The model, right?
Yeah.
I'm mad at my partner. Well, I don't know. There's probably a thought here better than I'm mad at my partner. Like they're stupid.
Well, she said something, right? She said something that upset me. So yeah.
No. She said something is the C line. Yes. What did she say? Let's get real.
Okay. So like she said that that she was disappointed that I didn't invite her to a meeting.
Okay. So partner said. I'm just going to put dot, dot, dot. What did you think about what she said?
I thought that was the most ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
That was my thought.
All right. That thought. See, I had to mark through my stuff. That thought, that's ridiculous, is what made me mad.
Yeah, that's what made me mad. That's what made me start feeling mad.
The thought made you mad, not what she said.
Okay.
She could have said, the sky is orange today. And you could have said, that's ridiculous. She could have said, you look beautiful today. And you could have been, that's ridiculous.
Okay.
She could have said, what'd you say she said?
Some about I didn't invite her to a meeting.
You didn't invite her to a meeting. Okay.
A meeting. Yeah. Heaven forbid. I didn't invite her. I'm sorry, what?
What if she was just wrong?
Well, she was wrong. She really was wrong.
But why did that make you mad?
I guess because it made me get defensive and start second guessing myself.
So maybe that's what it is. You got maybe mad wasn't the real feeling. Maybe it was defensive.
Yeah, it probably was.
Okay. She said I did something wrong. I got defensive. So you didn't get mad at her.
No, I just started feeling defensive because, and then second guessing myself, maybe I did do something wrong.
Right. And when you get defensive and you start second guessing yourself, well, you feel defensive. The action is you second guess yourself and then you overate. Right?
And then the result is I just want to go off and treat myself, I guess. Is that?
No, that's part of the action line.
You go okay.
Off the result is I didn't, you know, the result is the overeat. The result is the you're not treating yourself well. You know, she's.
I'm giving away all my power to her.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Or you just, you know, the result is that you don't show up in the partnership. you know, because you're off here eating and you're getting defensive. That's what the result is. So what I want you to see through this is that she didn't make you mad. Okay. Your thought about what she said made you mad. You could have chosen any thought. You could have, you know, when she said you didn't invite me to that meeting, you could have said, well, I did, you know, she's just wrong. And it could have been just neutral and you go on about your day.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
But okay. you went to second guessing yourself. I think that's the key for you right there. How often do you second guess yourself?
Not very often, but I guess in that case, I had considered inviting her, but I didn't. And I guess now, you know, and she called me on it. So I was like, well, I invited her to everything and I did one lousy thing without her. And then she just like goes off the deep end.
Maybe so, you were embarrassed.
Well, yeah, I could have been a little embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. But it doesn't, the point is, then I'm mad at myself. So now I go eat. I guess that's why, you know, it's, why do you need a, that's where we're going. It's so heavy. It's like, oh my God. Now it's like, so why does all that boil down to eating off plan? Right. Cause you have your, I mean, I have my 24-hour plan. I know what I'm supposed to eat. I know I'm not supposed to even think about food except what's on the plan.
Well, no, so. You don't think about food. You just eat on your plan.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I don't want you to say you can't think about food. You just create a plan that you're going to execute and you follow the plan.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think about food to create tomorrow's plan, right?
Well, and what's been, I mean, I've only done this 2 weeks, so I just did my third week plan, but what's worked really well is, you know, dragging all my food around, right? Taking my lunches and, you know, if you have your stuff with you, it's a lot easier to stay on plan. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, okay.
So let's do an intentional model. So we have the same circumstance. There's a meeting. You didn't invite the partner and she says you should have invited me. What can you think next time?
Well, I can think maybe I should have. I may argue with her, right? Just tell her maybe I should have.
Yeah, or maybe I made the best decision in the moment. Or that's the decision I made. Right?
Yeah.
What kind of feeling does that bring up?
Well, that keeps everything much calmer, right? That doesn't make me defensive. So that would probably be better. That would be a better bridging thought.
And when you're calm, you know, you move about your day or you don't overeat or you get back to work or something like that. Okay.
Yeah, that's probably a better bridging thought. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So you asked me when you started, how do I keep from going to the vending machine?
Yeah, because it's like, and I'll tell you the reason why I say that is because this is like the first time I've tried to be on a diet in like 30 years. And it's like the vending machine is like my best friend, you know, it's like this, you know, I go to work, I still go to work. So it's just a habit. It's almost a habit to take a break and go to the vending machine, right? Well,
first thing you do is you stop telling yourself the vending machine is your best friend. Okay? The vending machine is not your best friend and it's not your escape mechanism. What it's done in the past for you is it's allowed you to not be angry. It's allowed distraction from the anger when something goes not quite the way you want it to. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is you have to get angry and decide now's not the time to eat. I'm going to stick to my plan. So you pause that model. You stop that model right after you feel the feeling. You say, this is going to be crap. I'm not going to like it. I'm used to eating right now, but that's not on the plan. So I'm just going to go back to work. That's all it is.
That's all it is.
No magic. Oh my gosh. If you'll, you know, stand on your head and twirl around twice, then everything will be okay. That's not it. It's all about managing your thoughts and your emotions before you hit.
And then I suppose over time it gets easier, right? So it's like eventually it gets a little easier and you can just tell yourself, no, we're not doing that today.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have lost like 4 pounds in 2 weeks. So I've been doing it mostly right, but it's just every once in a while, it's like, oh my God.
I mean, just take one day at a time. You know, doing it mostly right is probably a thought that doesn't feel real good, right? I'm doing it right. Well, you know, look at the things you're doing right. That's more than you were doing right before you joined PMP.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so, yeah. You know, you're not going to jump in and nail the, you know, did you join January 1st? Your January baby?
Or the 3rd or something. Okay. Yeah. 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 I joined on the last day. I was like, oh my God.
Days, you expecting perfection?
Or are you? Well, no, but it's, no, I'm not. I understand, but it's, you know, like everything else, we want to just win at everything. So, okay. Well, thank you very much.
That's looking at where you're winning and then try for that next win. And for you, that next win is not calling the vending machine your best friend.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay. Bye.
All right. I'm looking for hands, y'all. Nobody's hand is raised. Who wants coaching? Nobody's hand is raised. Okay. So I'm going to poke over here in the chat. Oh, there's Stephanie. Good. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm anxious to get back to work with PNP because, you know, I've not done it for quite a while, but I sort of just wanted to tell you that Trina and Heather and I have reconnected and we're doing Marco Polo and it's been wonderful. But something that came up with all of us, and I know this is true for me, is how do you get out of the, like, I've had a lot of things happen since October and I put everything I know aside and I've gained like my weight back. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you, when something is that wrong and going that bad, how do you keep this in the forefront? And we've all said it, like, how do you keep yourself doing that when you're worried about your brother or your, do you know what I mean? How do you keep your focus and on track so that you don't backslide and end up where I'm doing right now and trying to work my way back to what I was before?
So let's say this first, the fact that you've come back and are ready to work again is a huge win, right?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So how do you, this is just like the vending machine question, right? You work in your models?
I really haven't. I started with the new No BS, which I can't believe is so different it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. I'm on the module with, in fact, I just did the model one this morning. Act, think.
Think, feel, act.
Yes, I did that one. And I know the model one is the one that I'm going to do either this evening or tomorrow. And obviously the thought downloads and I'm going to get back on track. I just sort of wanted to take the baby steps because I had never done, there wasn't a 24-hour plan before.
Right.
So I've got that down pat. So I'm sort of moving through it. So sort of like a newbie, you know, just so I can grab it and do it. So I haven't done any, I do know what they are, obviously. Right. I know the model, you know, but I haven't incorporated that yet this time.
So what you do, the way you, well, we've talked about the way you restart, you know, you go back through, you can start as early as orientation and start working through the modules. You really work on those four basics.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And I have, that's where, like I said, I'm right up there.
It's a beautiful thing that you have come back and discovered the new No BS and that you're getting to work on those things. But how do you handle situations in your life where, the urges to eat are stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you do exactly what I just taught Melissa to do. You do your thought downloads. You think your thoughts, you feel your feelings, and you decide that this is that eating is not going to fix any of that. Okay? What fixes that kind of stuff is how you think about it and whether or not you're feeling your feelings. That's it's the feelings work is so important, because if you're actually feeling your feelings, then you don't need to distract from them. If you're allowing your feelings, you don't need to eat to distract from them. You realize that actually feeling the worry or feeling the pain or the stress or whatever it is that you're running from, you realize that that feeling is not going to hurt you. It's not going to cause you physical harm. Mm-hmm. Okay? It, you know, you might cry, but crying,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. But there's nothing wrong with crying. It's what our bodies are supposed to do in reaction to emotion. What some of our bodies, some people don't cry. You know, yeah. I cry all the time. Okay. So that's how you avoid the overeat in that situation. You know, I'll give you an example. When my dad died a few years ago, I didn't go straight to the food because I allowed the grief. You know, every day I would get up and I'd think about how much I missed him, and I would allow myself to feel the grief and the love and the missing and the sad and all those things. And I didn't need food to medicate me because I was allowing the feelings, because I was recognizing that they were there and it was okay that they were there. All right. So all of this stuff that you've been going through in October is happening and is supposed to happen because it's happening. Your acceptance of that and your allowance of yourself to feel the feelings takes away the need for food to make you feel better. Because what happens when you actually feel your feelings from a physical standpoint is you actually feel them coming on and intensifying in your body. And as you sit there, in about 90 seconds, 2 minutes, you feel them ease out of your body. So you train your body to understand that a feeling doesn't hurt and it will come up like a wave. It'll come on and then it'll ease back out. And then you don't need food. You can pause that model after the feeling because you don't need food to make you feel better. You've shown your body that it will make itself feel better. And that you can survive the worry or the pain or the grief or the guilt or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes sense.
But it's very physiological. I'm this really nutty I love the physiology of all this, but it's very physiological and it's really what happens. The first time I did it, when I lost my dad, I was astounded that it would actually happen. I sat in my dining room in a nice quiet place and I let the grief come across me. Mm-hmm. And I felt it in my throat and in my heart and my head and my heart started racing and, you know, I got real agitated. And the longer I sat there and I let those feelings happen, the more I realized that they were going to ease, and they did. You know, then my heart rate slowed down and my head stopped hurting and I stopped, you know, you eventually stop crying, right? Mm-hmm. You stopped crying. Mm-hmm. And once you feel that, it becomes easier to do and it keeps you out of the food because you're actually allowing yourself to do what you're supposed to do. And that's to feel
instead of pushing it all down.
Yeah. When you bury it, just think about a beach ball, right? What happens when you take a beach ball and you push it under the water?
Right.
As long as you hold it there, it stays there. If you let it go, it pops back up. That's when you're not feeling your feelings, when you're not allowing them and dealing with them and deciding if that's what you want to feel, then you're just beach balling. You're just pushing them back down. They're just going to come back.
I think it's, if you don't feel them, then you're strong, you know? And I think it's probably just it's opposite.
Yeah. No, it's not strong. It's avoiding. It's avoiding being strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to talk specifically about something, or do you want to just play with that for a little bit?
I'll play with that a little bit. And like I said, I know that I'll be starting the thought downloads tomorrow morning because because that's where I'm at and work through. And then I'll have some of those things are going to definitely be cropping up in the thought downloads. And then I'll ask for more help, you know, when I get to those.
Okay.
But that makes sense.
Yeah. Allow them to come out. Picture all those thoughts flowing right out of your fingertips onto the paper. Okay. Because when they're all running around in here, they're just creating havoc.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to acknowledge them and put them down on paper. That's going to be a big thing for you.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Who's next? I see a lot of people here. Does anybody want to raise their hand? I love the feelings work. We're doing it here. Doing it here at the retreat. Also, we're practicing feeling certain feelings, which is really interesting. Yesterday, Corinne started with what are you feeling and how does it feel in your body? And this morning, we started creating feelings, you know, intentionally. You know, today I want to feel confident. So, how does confident feel in my body? And what thoughts create confidence for me? It's really interesting work, feelings work is. All right, Amber raised her hand. Let's see what you got.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. I wanted to pop in. I think my question is quick. So I'm one of those teachers that I really have a hard time. My twos don't match with my workday.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to figure out how to make this work because every time I eat during the workday, I basically wait until my stomach is pretty much like, yep, we're clear, it's hungry. But I don't really have a way to eat undistracted. So I play with portions and I'm trying to figure out how to maybe, I'm making like some egg cups this morning to take to work, but I know I'll have about 5 minutes to eat them because when I eat at 5:30 in the morning, it's not, I don't have a minus two. And I've talked with, I've heard Koreans say lots of times, you can eat, pre-eat as long as you don't go past two. And I never pre-eat past a two, but this pre-eating thing, it's just driving me nuts. I don't know how to do this because I can't, there is no undistracted time when I think my hunger signals will be, is what I'm trying to say.
Can you eat when you get hungry? Even if it's.
No, I mean, I'm not going to do that in front of the kids.
Tell me what your eating windows look like.
So right now, my current life is I eat at 5:45 and I'm sometimes hungry for a snack a lot at 9:30, 10, and I can eat some almonds. And then my given lunchtime is 11:45, which I'm sometimes not hungry for. And then sometimes I won't have another break until like 4:15. Yeah.
Okay. So 5:45 is the very latest you can eat.
Undistracted at my house, yes.
Okay. So you get to school and okay. What if, all right, so the almonds, I'm just wargaming this. The almond at break time, what if you ate something that wasn't as heavy and fatty? What if you ate a piece of fruit? Could you eat a banana or an apple?
I'd never thought about eating less or something lighter at that snack because I'm so hungry, if I'm hungry at all.
Wait a minute. I'm so hungry if I'm hungry at all. There's no in between.
Sometimes, some days I'm not. Some days I don't need the snack. Some days I can just wait till lunch.
Well, the reason I asked, I didn't necessarily say lighter. The reason I asked about a piece of fruit is because your body is going to burn that faster. So you might try that to see.
I might be more hungry for my 11:45.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hold on. I got to take my egg cups out. I was like, I'll just jump on the call and make in the egg cups. Aren't they so pretty? Ooh, they're so pretty. Okay. Moving on. So you think if I have a plus two or I have a minus two at 9:30, I should go ahead and just try a piece of fruit and then maybe I'll be more hungry at my lunch.
That's possible. Yes.
Okay.
Because the almonds are gonna take longer for you to digest. They're actually gonna keep you from getting hungry as fast. So, which is a great thing, you know,
right,
if the timing works for you. So, then what are you having for lunch? What do you usually have for lunch?
My lunch is usually, I say usually, it's always exactly the same. Protein, veg, rice cake, some cheeses, a fruit, and if I'm still hungry, a little bit of protein powder with peanut butter.
Okay.
And
dinner time?
Yeah. I'll get like a minus one sometimes at about 4:30, but I can usually just wait till 7. Like, I don't have any problem with that. That's mm-hmm. not that super hunger.
Mm-hmm. And you're eating to plus two.
Well, that's the hard part also, is my lunchtime is so, there's about 15 of us all talking at the same time for about a half an hour. So I don't think I hear the clear signal.
What do you feel? What do you feel like when you go back to class? You feel like plus two, or you feel like you've overeaten?
Oh no, never overeat.
Okay.
Never uncomfortable. Light, ready to work. Okay. Ready to have a bunch of kindergartners tell me all the things wrong with me. Yep.
that's probably plus two. You might look at that and make sure that's plus two. And if it's okay. The reason I ask that is because that's a long window. That's, you know, 6 or 7 hours between mm-hmm. lunch and dinner for you. But that's, I mean, some people, it sounds like you're having a lot of protein. So that might be the case. So I think I'd swap out the almonds.
Okay.
And see if that helps. And, you know, beyond that, you're probably doing exactly what you need to be doing with eating breakfast to your plus two and then lunch to your plus two, given the fact that you only have certain eating windows.
So you don't think the pre-eating in the morning is a big problem?
If you have, you know, we talk about people with shift work, like nurses or whatever, that have only, you know, small eating windows. If that, you know, if eating to plus two when you can eat is what you need to do in order to find success through the day, then it's okay.
Okay. But
if it's an overeat, you know, if it's something that you really don't need, you know, let's say, you find that you don't need the egg muffins at 5:45, that you just need the fruit at, I don't remember what time you said, sometime 9:30, something like that.
Yeah. 9:30, 10. Yeah.
You might experiment with that a little bit. We have a hunger scale challenge coming up this week. You might, you know, leave off the breakfast and see if.
And I've done those.
Yeah. And see how your body feels and then see what lunchtime is like. It's really going to be up to you to determine whether or not the plan that you've created for yourself is creating the results that you want. Okay.
I've been at the same weight for over a year in PNP. So I'm ready to tweak the little things now.
Yeah. So. I don't want to tell you to, you know, maybe the almonds aren't a good idea, but I think that's one of the things I'd try and tweak, especially if you're not hungry when it comes to lunchtime after eating the almonds.
So I know the plan is always to wait for minus two and eat to plus two, mm-hmm. but it sounds like I'm hearing you say that I might have to maybe I get to a minus four sometimes, and then sometimes I'm snacking until like point one or like, you know what I'm, it sounds like I'm kind of messing with those numbers, because in the summertime I can do minus two to two, like whenever I understand the signals, but it's getting to where I'm getting a little tied up about this breakfast pre-eating, because it doesn't feel like an overeat, but I've been doing this so long now that I'm like, am I just kind of BSing myself that, like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe you are. Maybe that's something you need to experiment with.
And then every time I have done waiting and the hunger challenges and the waiting for true two, sure enough, it hits exactly where I can't stop and I won't be able to stop for a couple of hours, and I'm okay with some discomfort, but I do get terribly distracted and like like the kids are like, are you going to eat your stomach? We can hear it. So that's like my minus four. I don't like living in there. I don't like making that a normal part of my day. It's not fun for me, but I don't know. I'm all over with the scheduling, but I'm on the right path. I know this. I'm asking the right questions.
You are.
You're just all over the place.
Yeah. I think I would experiment if I were you. I'd figure out what I could level up.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being at one at minus four with a room full of kindergartners. You've just decided.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, then my other thought was like, okay, well, what if, you know, Corinne's talked about when she has a really busy day, mm-hmm. if she eats to a plus three intentionally, mm-hmm. then that I don't need that snack and I can make it till 11, but eating to plus three still feels like maybe some overeating to me. I don't know how she does that. I don't know.
It's because she's figured out what works for her in her day,
yeah.
and keeps her weight where she wants it.
Yeah. Okay.
So let me leave you with this. If you have not lost any weight in your year with PMP, you're eating to maintain.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was my exception. So now I'm locking down my exceptions. Betsy's on the case with that one.
Okay. Okay. How many times a week do you plan in your exceptions?
I'm on my third week of one exception in a row.
One exception for the week?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you've been doing that 3 weeks, no change in your weight?
This will be my third week. Yesterday I weighed in a pound down.
Mm-hmm.
But the first week I did it, I was up 2 pounds. So I don't really, negligible. I'm not going to draw causation off of that one.
What about your water?
Amazing. I'm the poster child for water.
Good. Good. You know, and that's really interesting because I want all the teachers that listen to this to hear you say, I'm a teacher and I get my water in.
I chug before work.
Yeah.
I chug every chance I get. I can't sip. I do a little bit of sipping, but honestly, I chug a ton before work and I slam a bunch all evening. I have to, because just during the day, I sip.
Yeah.
Teachers can do it. I will say it on the podcast so all the teachers can hear it. Just got to kill it before the kids come.
Good deal. So does that help? Do you think that
it helps? Does help. I think I just needed to hear that it's okay to play with it. And I just, I think these last parts of the puzzle are starting to really lock in for me. Mm-hmm. The goal isn't necessarily right now to see a scale payoff. I just need to have the guts to play with that it might be okay to wait to a minus five, or it might be okay to try to eat to a plus two. Like, I just needed to hear a coach say that it's okay to play with it and not, oh, you're just dogging the system and, you know, stop trying to break the rules, you know.
Well, you have to decide if you're dogging the system. You know, I know I'm not.
I just definitely am like.
You are. You have to
but
decide.
But it's not 2-2.
You. Right.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is the thing that you said about minus four makes you distracted. I've done lots of hunger scale challenges. The first couple of times I did it, I did the no eating until like noon or 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
My brain was so laser focused when I was on the hungry side of the scale. I was so surprised because I wasn't distracted or dulled because I had a bunch of food in my belly. I was more focused because I was hungry than I would have been if I had, you know, if I wasn't hungry. It was so strange. It felt like I could work that much harder. I was that much more in tune because I was on the hungry side of the scale.
I've done fasting and they say that's a thing, but that never happened to me. Once we hit a certain point and the growling kicks in and that weird feeling in my throat, like singing feels weird and talking just feels weird. And I'm like, I am uncomfortable, not mentally, physically. This is not okay.
It's different. Maybe it's not weird. Maybe it's just different.
Yeah.
You know,
Betsy encouraged me to wait for lunch too, I think. And I was just like, ugh, I've kind of done that. Ugh. But I don't know. I don't do the butter coffee. So if I did the butter coffee, I don't know. That's another idea for breakfast too.
That day I did mine. My very first one was on black coffee.
Yeah.
Or butter coffee.
A true fast. Yeah. Yeah. They say that clarity kicks in. I was doing black coffee. I never found that clarity. I was to, I was waiting till 4 o'clock. I'd gotten like a 20-hour fast in. I had not had any clarity.
I didn't do a 20-hour fast. It's interesting. You probably had predetermined that it was going to be horrible, and you went into it.
I don't know.
Curiosity. What if?
Yeah.
And I think this is important for everybody who's going to be doing the Hunger Scale Challenge next week. Instead of going into it white knuckling, going, "Oh my God, I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm going to be hungry." Why don't you go into it with, "This is a super opportunity for me to figure this out."
Oh, I've already done all the numbers. That's the part that I'm needing help with. I've already done all the curiosity, and I know what I don't like and I don't want to manage. That's where I'm like, am I pre-eating or is it okay to pre-eat? I've already done all those kind of numbers, but I don't know. All right. Well, thank you for the help.
All right.
You've given me a lot to think about. I'll keep tweaking things.
All right. See ya.
Have a good time.
All right. Bye. Okay. Who's next? Who else wants to talk to me today? All right, Danielle. Hello. Danielle, can you hear me okay? Danielle, you are frozen.
Do I have a bad connection?
I think so. One of us does anyway. I don't know if it's the hotel or if it's you.
Could be.
You're starting to come in now.
See.
Still having trouble hearing you though.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you are frozen. Okay. So Mary says it's you, your connection.
Okay. Hold on. I'm talking. All right. Trying to run through my house.
Okay. I love your hat.
Oh, thank you. I swam today, so I have pool hair. So I was not planning on doing this, but I thought, why not?
All right. That's much better.
So I just had to run up 2 flights of stairs to get connection here. Live in the country. We're getting a snowstorm right now in New York.
Oh, really? Oh, goodness.
Yeah. But all good. So I am kind of very unplanned in my thoughts because honestly, I wasn't planning on raising my hand, but I thought, why not? I joined in September and I've been playing with the same 5 to 7 pounds.
Okay.
And it's me not doing the basics. So the last, I would say 2.5 weeks, I've really committed to doing my 24-hour plans. Mm-hmm. Sleep is good, water is good, and I am a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I give my teacher all day long and just have people cover me a lot when I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I'm getting my exercise in, and I know that's not one of the basics, but it helps me for sure. I'm doing my TDLs and models.
Okay.
And I was down this week, so I was so excited.
Shocking, right?
So it worked, right? Hey, when you do it, it works. Wow, what a kind of... my nervousness, I guess, and I've heard a lot of calls because I try to watch a lot of the podcasts and the Facebook Lives, even if they're replays, and take, you know, pieces of what people say. I'm nervous. I'm doing little quits on myself and I catch myself and I'm like, oh, I'll just do a download on that and I'll do a model and it won't happen again. And, you know, I'm doing all the other right things, but I'm feeling good and I feel like I'm in massive action right now. And I just want to stay here. I don't, Like I'm at that, and I've been playing with this weight decade for like since September. It's like I go down and hit the next decade, and then I self-sabotage and put it back on, and then I'm up in the decade again. So I'm at that point where I was like through this weight decade now, but I just want to stay in this massive action, I guess, and motivation. So
are you doing three worksheets on your little quits?
Yeah, those are the that's the TDL, right, and the models, or am I missing something else?
Okay. There's a worksheet that is specifically for overeats.
Okay.
You what you ate and what you were thinking when you ate. It asks you you know, to do a TDL on it. It asks you what you would do the next time. What did you learn about yourself?
I think, okay.
Right. You can find that on the website under the toolkit.
Okay.
Sheets. But here's what I want to offer you is, even though you're having overeats, doing that recovery worksheet is massive action. Okay. It's actually assessing the whole overeating situation, what were you doing? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? That kind of thing. And then you're assessing that. That's massive action. When you're looking back at your overeats, at your little quits, I'm just calling little quits and overeats the same thing. When you're looking at them with intention to learn from them, to try and find patterns, that is definitely massive action.
Okay.
Corinne said today in the retreat, was it today or last night? It's all running together for me. But she said in the retreat, the two most important things for you to do outside of the basics are assessing and recovery worksheets.
Okay.
Because those are the teaching tools that help you fine-tune your basics.
Right.
Okay?
That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, right? So when you do your 24-hour plan, do you go back in at the end of the day and look and see how you did?
I do the assessment sometimes that night, and sometimes it's the next day. And I am really trying, like I'm listening to all the things that you guys are saying to the newbies of January, and I'm really trying to, I'm not perfect by any means, but sometimes I like things to try to be perfect. Like when I'd write my 24-hour plan, like I'd be there with whiteout. You know what I mean? If I screw up something, now I just cross it off. I don't even care. Like I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And that's more important than having a pretty notebook, I guess.
Striving for perfection is not going to help.
Right. Because I screwed up so much this week. And I was like, you know what? Before I would have ripped this out of my planner, I would have started with a whole new page or something good. And now it's like, I'm assessing my day, and I just do it really quick. It takes literally 2 minutes, and I just put check marks by the foods that, yep, I ate that on plan, no rubs to this, I'm being gentle on myself about substitutions if they're equivalent or not as terrible. And maybe I shouldn't be that lenient about the 24-hour plan because it is about committing to myself.
It is.
But yes, I do those assessment worksheets a day.
I would definitely, for you, layer in the recovery worksheets.
Okay.
Because I think that's going to be the next level work for you.
Okay.
Don't just do them. Go back and review them now and then. See if you can see patterns. You know, to when your little quits happen, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what's going on around you. Same thing with your assessments. When you go back, you know, every week or two and look at your assessments, see if you see patterns, because those are your opportunities to level up.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. And I always have that language in my brain, and I'm trying to, I think since September till probably about now, I've been with little blips, but I've really been in that passive action. Cause it's like, well, I'm watching the podcasts, using language, but it's like, well, how many 24-hour plans do you have done for the month of November or whatever it is? And it's like, oh, okay. Well, you're not really doing it then. So
I love that you caught yourself in that. And so just you know, in case a newbie is listening to this, the difference between passive action and massive action is thinking about doing something and planning to do something versus actually doing it. So passive action is all the learning. It's all the listening. It's, you know, organizing your planner. It's making a list. It's that kind of thing. Massive action is actually going in and making the plan and assessing the plan and drinking your water, not planning how much you're going to drink, but actually drinking the water, that kind of thing, right? So for you, the next level massive action is going to be that recovery worksheet. Because you're starting to see the overeats and the little quits, which is beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. That's just going to take you to the next level.
I will definitely start printing some of those. I guess I was getting confused and I was thinking I was doing those when I was doing the thought downloads, because I guess I was downloading my thoughts on these. And again, it typically is that time frame, and a lot of the teachers are the same. I usually hit the gym right after work, and then grab kids from practices and then get home, and then it's dinner time. So that's when I'm like, just like a probably -4, you know, and it's like, and I can't wait, you know, half an hour until dinner's on the table and I just start eating. So, but I've been
right. You're just choosing not to. Make sure you know how you're talking to yourself there. And, you know, thought download is a beautiful thing. And it's part of the recovery worksheet.
Okay.
The recovery worksheet is just a tool to help you take it a little bit further.
Okay. I will definitely print those out.
Okay. All right. Good deal.
Thank you. I'm glad we got connected.
Yeah, me too. You're welcome.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, y'all. There's a few questions in the Q&A. I'll go ahead over here. If anybody else, you know, we still have 38 minutes. So if anybody else wants to get coached, go ahead and raise your hand and I'll look. All right. So I have a thank you for the office hours. So what are TDLs? TDL stands for thought download. That is covered in the No BS Success Path. I wonder which module that is. I'm not sure we've gotten to it yet. But basically what it is a journal entry, okay? It's a where you get out your pen and your paper and you write everything that's going on inside your head, okay? It's like a stream of consciousness journal entry that just pretty much unloads your brain. I hear Corinne talking about how it's like cleaning out the clutter in your house. Okay, if you consider your brain your house, you write down everything that's going on and then you reread it to decide if you like the things that you're thinking. Our brains produce probably 50 or 60,000 thoughts a day. Okay, half of them are going to be negative. It's just the law of averages. It's just what happens. Negative thoughts happen and they're okay. It's what you choose to do with them that, you know, creates opportunities to overeat or not. But a thought download itself is just a journal entry where you write down everything that you're thinking. Sometimes mine has a grocery list in it. Sometimes mine has a to-do list. Sometimes it's just, I've had a really hard day and here's why. Sometimes it's, I've had a great day and here's why. I usually do mine in the mornings and it helps me frame my day. So I might ask myself when I start my thought download, what am I thinking? Or how do I want to feel today? Or what do I want to create? And I just let my brain tell me. Okay. So it's, you know, it's basically just a journal entry. Okay. I've got a hand raised over here. Ayla, I'm terrible at names today, so you're going to have to tell me how to pronounce your name. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Tell me how to say your name.
Ayla.
Ayla, very pretty. So what's up?
So I was actually doing food prep while listening to prior calls, so I just got done. So okay. One of the things I noticed, and I'm really getting in tune with the hunger scale now, I'm a New Year's baby. Okay. One of the things I noticed, Kathy, is can the hunger scale, the +2, change from day to day or week to week. And I just finished my period and I noticed I was a beast. And even before I started, PNP, I noticed that I'm just less in control in terms of my hunger cravings. It takes me longer to get satisfied. It's harder to resist. Okay, not resist is a bad word. Betsy coached me on resist. Okay, it's harder to really stop at my two and not grab ass. So I think I kind of know the answer when I talk it out. I think it is emotional hunger, but I just have a really hard time during the special time of the month, really getting a control and like staying on the plan.
Okay. So there's your thought. I'm having a really hard time that time of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Staying on plan. You may have more food urges during that time because your hormones are a little janky.
Okay.
But if you keep telling yourself it's hard, what kind of result do you think you're going to create for yourself?
Probably not positive, negative.
Probably not positive, right?
Right.
So we did a podcast on that. It's so funny. We did a podcast on this, Corinne and I did, probably a year ago, more than a year ago. And I think the title of the podcast was "Your Period's a Bitch, but You Don't Have to Be." Okay. Which just cracks me up because I don't, it just sounds so much like her. So what she said was, if you know that your hormones are going to be janky, mm-hmm. and that's my word, I don't even know if it's a real word, but if they're going to be, you know, like erratic, maybe it's yep. then maybe you plan for that. You might plan an extra snack or two in case okay. you need them. All right. Okay. You might plan foods that you know make your body feel better. For instance, you know, Corinne loves fried chicken liver, I think is what they are. She eats them a lot when she's on her period because they help her iron levels. All right. Mm-hmm. When her iron levels get out of whack, her hunger gets a little out of whack. Her body feels tired. So If she is that in tune with her body and knows that that's what her body needs, that's what she plans for her period week. Kathy's not going to plan fried chicken livers for any week. All right. Okay. But if yeah. I know that my iron levels are a little bit low, I might have a steak. Okay. Responding to your body in a way that you know it needs tends to help with the food cravings. Okay.
Yeah, and it's funny that you said talk about the steak because my husband and I, we have this running joke for years now that once a month, all I need steak, you know? And it's like, I don't know what it is. It's like I can't stop dreaming about it. And it's typically actually right before I get my period. So I don't know. So that makes sense because I definitely have like this craving for red meat. Chicken mm-hmm. livers, I'm from Eastern Europe, so I'm recovering from all of the organs that – you know, they tried to feed me when I was a kid. So that's not my cup of tea either. But I definitely recognize that I have right before I get my period, craving for like red meat.
Yeah.
Because I don't eat that every day at all.
Right. So I would definitely plan something like that. So think in advance, how do I usually feel the week of my period? And adopt your plan to match what you think you might need. Okay.
Okay.
And then from day to day, just change it up. You know, if you figure out I've had my steak, I don't need that anymore, go back to what you usually eat. But plan for it. That's the big thing about, especially about us women and our cycles, is that we just have to be really in tune with what our body needs in order to create success for ourselves. Okay. Now,
yeah.
Your question about the plus two and the minus two. Yes, they can vary from day to day. Your body is relying on what you fed it the day before, how it agrees with you, how fast, you know, you might have blown through that kind of food. I was just talking to someone who I suggested instead of eating nuts for a snack, eating a fruit because your body's going to burn that faster. So if you had a whole day of things that your particular body burns faster, you might have more hunger the next day. But if you've had a whole day of, you know, nuts and red meat and whatever, you might not be hungry the next day.
Okay.
So yes, it's very cool that you've noticed that your hunger changes from day to day because it absolutely can do that. Yes.
Okay. No, and it's fun because you know, I still lost, not still is a better word. I lost 1.4 last week. I finally got, I'm the one that got the Queen's Club and the Queen called me out yesterday on the morning I think you were in bed, or, and I heard you go, yay. And the, it was really funny. I'm like, oh, I think that's Kathy. Yeah, but
I was just getting out of the shower.
that's what it was. But I think last week also was very different for me because it was the first week where I actually pre-planned almost every dinner I had and lunch. And I was very successful at it, and I had a lot of good, healthy fat in salmon. So 4 nights of the 7 nights that I had my period, I had, you know, grilled salmon with a good grain and some vegetable. And, you know, so I did very well, but I wasn't, you know, kind of like that chocolate thought was a little bit more there. And then a couple of times I you know, finished what I thought was my plus two, but I'm like, you want to go graze somewhere else. I didn't react to it, right, but I just kept noticing that I was kind of thinking about it a little bit more than prior weeks.
Yeah. One of the things we talked about on that podcast was that if you always crave chocolate during your period, plan some chocolate. Why resist it? You know, if you always crave, you know, a steak, plan a steak.
Right.
You just plan your exceptions and your meals according to what you know that you're going to eat, so that you're not white knuckling, so that you're not resisting. If you're at a point where you can allow that urge like you did and be okay with that, that's great. You know, but if you're not, just plan something until you are okay, so that you can make the decision based on your plan, not based on going off plan. You know, because when we have that thought, well, I guess I'm going to just go off plan, you know, I may as well just toss in the day. That's not serving us, right?
Right, right, right. Okay. Well, thank you. I that's really helpful. So now hopefully I have 3 weeks of normalcy until, you know, the monster comes back around.
You know what?
Flo comes to visit again.
well, you know what? Maybe every 4 weeks Aunt Flo is normal.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Start wrapping your brain around the fact that, you know, that's how your body is. That's how,
right.
And accept the fact that Aunt Flo is just going to come. And, you know, that's a normal part of being a female, right?
Right. Right.
So, you know, figure out how you can live with that graciously and be kind to yourself, and then move to the next days.
Will do. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Bye. Okay, y'all. Who's next? Is popcorn considered a healthy carb, or should it be an exception? Well, M. Davis 50. What kind of popcorn is it? Is it laden with that, you know, pump butter stuff that you get at the movie theater? If it is, if it's laden with yuck, I'll call it yuck. That's you know, if it's laden with processed pretend butter, I would definitely call it an exception. Otherwise, I would probably call it good on the good, better, best scale. I think I would still put it on your plan and decide if it is something that, you know, you lose weight eating, if you can eat it to a two. I think it's kind of one of those things that's probably okay fuel food as long as you are eating it like fuel food. Okay. So as long as you're eating it to your plus two and it's, you know, the healthy popcorn, not, you know, covered in bad butter, or I shouldn't say bad, but you know what I mean, synthetic butter, then you're probably all right. I was just thinking the skinny pop in a bag. If you're eating, yeah, I would think if you're eating it to a plus two, if you're eating it using your hunger scale, you know, not eating till minus two, eating to plus two, you're probably fine. Just evaluate whether or not you think it's helping you create the results that you want. Anybody else? Who else wants to be coached? I can't, you know, for the past few weeks, I've had people lined up like nobody's business. And today, maybe everybody who was lined up is at the retreat downstairs. Huh? Today, you guys are quiet. Let me pop through this chat and see if there's anything here I should talk about. I used to tie exercise with better choices too. I had to learn how to separate my food choices and make exercise fun. Yeah, that's a great way to look at it, Amber. Um, I do that too. I keep eating sometimes until I find that thing that really satisfies me. Clearly it isn't hungry. That's right. It's not hungry. If you're searching the kitchen for something to satisfy you, you're looking in the wrong place, right? You know, satisfaction comes with the feeling in your belly when you hit plus two. It doesn't matter, you know, whether it's broccoli or popcorn that goes in your belly, you're going to find satisfaction. You're not going to find satisfaction in your pantry. Okay. Because satisfaction, if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, it's going to be driven by a thought. Anyone know, is being on camera required in order to fully participate? Lisa, it's easier. I guess that's Lisa. It's easier for me to see you on camera and help you, but it's not required. All right. So I got a couple of people up here that are ready. Liz, I'm promoting you.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
What's on your mind?
I'm very excited. I feel like this is making it very real. I've been in PMP since May of last year, and this is my first time on a call, so I'm very excited.
Welcome.
thank you. A little bit of background. So when I started PMP at first, I did very small steps, and I did the no BS the first time, and I was going through getting ready for my wedding, so I was very like self-focused and figuring it out, and I had lost probably about like 6 pounds or so and was at my lowest weight as an adult and really, really excited about that. Kind of fast forward, it's been about 4 months, and when I came back after my wedding, I was up a few pounds, and then I went through a lot of stressful work periods, and I find myself reaching for foods as a relief, an avoidance, an alternative to feeling a discomfort and a stress. And so I'm starting to do more thought downloads around that, but I find myself still, I'm not quite in as stressful of a time period with work. I am trying to make very small incremental changes every week, getting back into a morning routine. I do my 24-hour plan. My water's on point. My sleep is not quite there. And typically sleep is, it suffers when I am working a lot. So I'm right at about, you know, six hours tonight. But I, even this week, it's, you know, Friday night is okay, movie with my husband, and we're just going to hang out here. And I had my kind of chicken and salad dinner, and then it's 11 o'clock and he asks, you know, do you want to order a pizza? Do you want to go get some desserts? And so I'm associating this relaxation time, the food with the relaxation, and trying to work through, I know that that's kind of correlated with like, if I have difficult work conversations, I'm reaching for foods and having a hard time, reframing it and experiencing difficult conversations or, you know, taking that away from, I guess, like my relaxation time.
Okay. So do you want to work on the difficult conversations or do you want to work on the husband and the pizza and the ice cream?
I think difficult conversations is, probably what I want to work on.
Okay. So, and these happen at work most of the time?
Yeah, I think it's, I'm in like a manager level working with teams and in a client service situation. And so often, I'm trying to manage myself and others and in tight time periods. And I feel the tightness in my body and my chest and my stomach. And I reach out for oftentimes like kind of sweet foods that will make me feel, you know, that sugar high or that like distraction or sensation. And I think what I'm looking to try and do more of is a little bit of mindfulness to understand and name what these emotions are that I'm feeling, but I still am not seeing the food in that moment as a negative connotation. I'm seeing it as a release for myself. That's how I'm kind of viewing it right now.
It's a distraction. Okay. It's not a relief. Yeah. Or a relief. All it is distracting you from whatever you're feeling. And that's probably why you can't identify the feeling, because you're not spending enough time there. So give me a situation, the last situation where you you ate at work.
So it's probably, yep. Like Wednesday, I knew I had a lot of things coming up that were due on Thursday and I needed to get them done. And then somebody asked me where the progress was on it. And I didn't feel like I was following through. And so I felt like I was, not performing. I wasn't, on task or delivering it in time. And it was probably like, I don't know, maybe like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and kind of saw the email or got off a call and just realizing I'm like, okay, I have so much to do and I don't really want to do this right now. So I kind of step up away from my desk and go to the, you know, the convenience store or whatever and get like a sweet drink or like a protein cookie, which is like a treat really, or a distraction.
So I have so much to do.
Yes.
Okay. How does that make you feel?
Like I'm not, I feel overwhelmed, like I can't handle it.
Inadequate?
Like I'm not in control.
Did you hear me say inadequate?
I did not hear that, but that is a good word.
Okay. All right.
I think that's a really good word.
Huh? What?
I think that's a really good word.
Okay.
That's
When you feel inadequate, you do what? Procrastinate?
Yes. Procrastinate, avoid, mm-hmm. Distract myself.
Mm-hmm.
I ignore. So ooh, like when I felt
really great things that produce productivity, right?
Instead of just the actions to do the things to accomplish.
Uh-huh. So here's your model. This is a great one because, and I understand this model. Let me just say, I'm in your pool here sometimes.
I'm an accountant, so I like numbers too, and I like my calculators. So
here's your model.
All okay. Right.
So you have Thursday due dates. I have so much to do.
Yep.
Overwhelmed and inadequate.
Overwhelmed.
With feelings. And you gave some great actions, which are really inactions. You ignore, you eat, you avoid, you procrastinate. It's basically, we could...
Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm like envisioning like a pushback.
Yeah, like, you're doing nothing here, which results in nothing mm-hmm. done. And the due dates, you know, are still looming, right?
Right.
So this is your model, right?
And so if I want to change that...
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about this. I want to talk about this word here first. Overwhelmed.
Okay.
Overwhelmed is very easy to access. It's almost like an excuse. I'm so overwhelmed. You know, look at me. I'm having a terrible time. I'm so
yeah.
right. There's almost always something under that. That's why I kept pushing through overwhelmed with you and asked you what else could it be. All right. Because
yeah, I feel like I see overwhelmed in my models.
Overwhelmed almost makes us look like the victim. You know, I have so much to do. I'm overwhelmed. You know, it's somebody else's fault. Because they've given me so much to do. Sure. When in reality, you're stressing out because you're not getting things done and you're feeling inadequate. You're feeling out of control. There's something else other than overwhelmed. So when you see that in your models, ask yourself, if I wasn't overwhelmed, what else would I be feeling? Because I think you'll probably find something else. Okay?
Yeah.
So we've got these same Thursday deadlines. And you hear yourself say, I have so much to do. What if you just stopped right there when you hear that thought and said, yeah, I have deadlines, so let's get to work. You know what I mean? It sounds
horrible.
Okay, I'm a little overwhelmed, but that doesn't mean I have to eat. That means I should probably turn around and start working toward these deadlines rather than...
Yep.
Going off and hitting the store, right?
Buckle down.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what I tell myself when I get a little stressed out, but I don't have to stay here. Right?
Yeah. Well, I really like that.
Yeah, overwhelm can't exist when you're doing something. If you look at all these actions, procrastinate, avoid, distract, ignore, that's doing nothing. That's inaction.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we don't see on here, you know, pull out the paperwork for task number one and get it done, because that's not happening with overwhelm. So in order to pull yourself out of overwhelm, you just do that next thing. Okay?
Yep.
In my world, for me, if I'm feeling overwhelmed and I move to that next thing, it's not near as hard as I thought it was going to be. I've created this great, big, huge, crazy story in my head that I have all this work to do. And sure, maybe I have a list of things to do, but it's not that hard. You know, I know. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times in my old job, I would have this great big long list of things to do. And I'd say, well, I'm just going to start with number one because it's going to be like a 3-hour job and I'm done in like 20 minutes. Like, well, that was dumb.
Right.
I mean, how many times?
Right. Really, you're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I would watch for all of you. I'd watch for that feeling of overwhelm and just say, you know what? I know I can get rid of this by just moving to the next thing.
Yeah. And I think that that's also something that I'm realizing is that I was working a lot on changing my mind around how I felt about it, but that actually wasn't really an action either to get me out of the state I was in. Oh. Like I was understanding where I was, but it's the action. And then I think my mind will follow my actions a little bit.
That's exactly what happens. The neat thing about the model is that you can create an intentional model with a thought you really don't believe. Like, we could create this Thursday due dates model. I'm going to hit this every time, right? That seems a little unbelievable.
Sure. But
if you create that model and the action line is focus on my work, knock things off my to-do list, or even what the specific actions are that you perform at work, and you just make sure you're hitting those actions, you're going to produce the results of making your due dates, which is going to say, you know what, maybe that thought is doable because I created results with those actions, right? See how that works? The circular nature of the model is just really cool, especially the intentional one, because if you perform the actions and create the results, then wait a minute, maybe that thought, there is something to that thought.
Yeah. Very cool. No, this is very helpful, and I will come back with how I do with it.
Apply the same thing.
Thank you.
To that husband and the pizza.
Yes.
Okay.
Will do. All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye. Okay. All right. I don't know how to say this name. C-R-I-C-E. You guys are testing these name skills for me today.
It's Carol.
Oh, Carol.
Carol, yeah, my last name is Rice, so. Oh, well,
it's a whole lot easier than me.
It is. I should go back and fix that. Right. Okay, so I have identified a poisonous thought, and I can see it play out in lots of different situations in my life. But currently, the thought is if I don't struggle for something and overcome obstacles, then I don't deserve what's at the end. So the current situation is that I've won an award
for you to feel accomplished.
Yes. I won an award for work, and you know, my husband knows, but that's it. Like, I haven't told anybody else because I feel very undeserving to receive it. And you know, I can see why, because I don't feel like I've worked hard enough to deserve it. I mean, and I, like, logically I know.
Yeah. That's the thought. I haven't worked hard enough for this.
Yes.
Well, apparently you did because you got the award.
Yes. But I still feel undeserving. I guess it's like kind of imposter syndrome almost. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. So how do I, because I do see it play out in other areas of my life, like with weight loss, like, you know, I'm following my hunger scale and I'm losing weight, but it's not difficult. So what can I do to make this more difficult? And then I gain back 20 pounds.
Why does everything have to be hard?
I don't know. I really, honestly, I've journaled about this. I think it goes back to, if my husband and I, we talked about it this morning, like with, like very manual labor. In my brain, manual laborers deserve all the money in the world. And the white collar people who sit behind a desk, which is one, I happen to be one of those, don't deserve it. Like, it is ingrained in me and I cannot identify.
It's just practiced.
Okay.
It's a thought. Okay. It's a thought you can decide is optional. It's a judgment, actually.
Yes.
You know, you're judging yourself for not working hard enough. You're judging white collar folks because they don't work hard enough. You know, it's a judgment that you've adopted, that you've decided is true. We could call it a belief system if we wanted.
Yes.
The way to counteract a belief system is to practice new thoughts.
Yes.
Okay. So if I tell you, you must have done what you needed to do to get that award. I mean, that's my thought, but you got the award, right?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody else thought that too. It's just
correct.
Thinking that thought.
Yes. I know. And logically it all makes sense to me. It really does. But I even see this play out in our finances. And the only place, and this may help, me with a bridging thought, the only place that I don't see this play out is actually in my marriage. I'm married to a wonderful man and I know that I'm a wonderful person and I believe you get back what you put out. And so I've always said that I found the person that I deserve. And I mean that in a very loving and affectionate way.
There's that deserve word again.
I know, but I've said,
because you work so hard.
But
I'm in there, right? I work really hard, so I deserve to have a good marriage.
But I don't feel like we've ever struggled. That's the thing. That's where there's a difference. That's the only reason that it's different than my other belief systems.
So why is that marriage okay then, if you haven't struggled? Why is it okay to have that?
Because I believe that I'm a good person and I'm getting what I deserve. There. So
a lot of standards for yourself. Right?
Yes.
Does it make you feel good to have all those standards for yourself? Are you living up to them?
In some areas, yes.
Does it feel good when you do?
Yes.
Does it feel good when you don't?
No. No, not at all.
Are you a perfectionist?
You know, I honestly don't think that I am. Last night I went off plan and had ice cream with my husband and I got right back on plan this morning and wrote about why I chose to eat the ice cream. I didn't beat myself up and I just moved on. So I don't think perfectionism is that I fall into that category.
You would have had ice cream at work. Would you have had the same result? The same thoughts?
What do you mean? I'm sorry. I don't understand.
Ice cream at work.
Mm-hmm.
Would it have played out the same way?
Ooh, no. When I visit the vending machine at work off plan, I do beat myself up more.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, right?
That is very interesting.
So I want you to do some thought downloads about why you deserve a good marriage. And it's not because you're a good person.
Okay.
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 What else there is? That's too easy for you to come up with.
Okay.
And then why you deserve that award.
Okay.
Start asking yourself, if you're going to hang your hat on your own standards and what you deserve and what you don't, start asking yourself the opposite questions. Okay. I got a promotion I didn't deserve because I didn't work hard enough. All right. Well, why did you deserve the promotion? Why did you deserve the award? You know, sometimes we live in the place where we're always looking, we're looking for things that are going wrong rather than we're looking for things that are going right. Mm-hmm. For you, you're looking at all the reasons you don't deserve weight loss or the award at work rather than the reasons you do deserve them. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense?
So it does. I've made notes.
Huh?
Do what? I'm sorry?
It's uncomfortable, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, it's a layer. I get okay with being uncomfortable in certain areas, and then, you know, the next layer of uncomfortableness. Well, let me ask you this.
If you're a good person, why didn't you deserve the award or the weight loss?
Oh. It goes back to my first thought is because I didn't work hard enough, so I don't deserve it. Then because I'm a good person, you know, that plays out in relationships in my mind, but recognition involves work. If that does that make sense at all.
You don't have relationships at work? You sit in a cubicle
by yourself
all day long and never talk to anyone and never work with anyone? Are you a solo person?
No, I work with lots of people, which is why I won the award.
Okay. And with your weight loss, how is your relationship with yourself?
It is improving.
Uh-huh.
It is absolutely improving. My work with making the scale neutral is helping with that. No, I don't, which is why I gained back 20 pounds that I lost last summer.
Think about what you tell yourself. I lost 20 pounds. I didn't deserve it. So you just go and eat, right?
Yeah. And I gain it back so that I can struggle to get it off. Yeah.
Did you deserve to gain the weight back?
Yes, because of my choices.
Why did you deserve to lose? Why did you lose the weight? What were you doing to lose the weight? The basics?
Yes, as a groupie, yes.
And that wasn't good enough? You didn't deserve to because that wasn't good enough?
I don't know. I got there and I got...
What did you say? Are the doing the basics good enough to lose weight?
Yes, they are. They are. Okay. I mean, yeah.
Why are your standards different?
I don't know. I guess I feel like I'm always trying to prove myself to others. Mm-hmm. So
prove yourself to others. Maybe we just found it. You don't have to prove yourself to your husband because he loves you unconditionally.
Damn. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the next thing for you to look at. Why do you have to prove yourself to others? Do you have the belief within yourself that you're good enough, or do you have to show everyone else that you're good enough?
I have been told that things have been handed to me before. And interestingly, whenever I encounter that person, I downplay success. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why I have to prove myself to others.
That's where your work starts.
Why okay. Got it. I've asterisked that question.
Huh?
Oh, I put an asterisk by that question, so I know to start there.
And then you have to, you know, prove yourself to yourself too. I mean, think about that. You know, I don't deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not proving to yourself that you deserve it. You're not creating. It goes back to me asking you, why do you deserve the award? Why do you deserve the weight loss? That's how you begin to develop that relationship with yourself.
Okay. Okay. Yes. And I get it. And I just want to add, like, I enjoy lifting weights. And so whenever I see success there, like, that struggle is tangible. You know, I'm in there and I'm working. And so it makes sense to me that I would see those results and have that success with going up in weight. So... Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I've got it. I've got my questions. I've got my work. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Enjoy the retreat.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Okay, guys. I'm going to take one more person because I'm at 2:00. And I think there was, one more person here. Natasha.
Hello. Let me, hold on.
Can you hear me?
Let's see. How's that?
Did I? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. What's up?
So I joined in September.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. September. And where to start? Okay. So basically last night I just had a breakdown. I've been very frustrated because I feel like I've been hovering between the same 4 pounds or 5 pounds in September, up, down. I was losing some weight for a little bit and then I'm starting to gain it back. And I feel like I don't really know what to do because I feel like I was am making a very concerted effort to focus on the basics. And I was okay, this week it's my hunger scale, the plus two is a mystifying concept. I'm trying to figure it out, when I'm hungry, when I'm not, and was starting to get it, but then I'm gaining weight, and I'm just becoming so frustrated because I don't I almost feel like I'm just throwing things at the wall and hoping it sticks, and I don't know where to focus, and I'm just becoming very disheartened because especially it was last night I was getting ready to go out with friends for a friend's birthday party. I was trying everything on in my closet. Nothing looked good. It was one of those nights where I was I have 700 clothing items. None of them fit. How do they all end up in my closet? And was just so upset about it. And I was I almost didn't go out because of it. And, it just kind of reinforced all the frustration. And I just at this point I'm feeling, I probably sound a little crazy, but I just don't know what to do. I'm just feeling very, okay, disheartened, and I don't.
All right. So which is it, disheartened or frustrated?
Oh, I guess frustrated more than anything, especially because I feel like I've been pretty focused on trying to lose weight and focus on the basics since I joined. Sometimes I wasn't. But then even when I am and I'm gaining weight or just not losing weight.
So tell me about the times you weren't focused.
So I think I'm in grad school. So I think the times, it's been harder to focus when I'm when school is going on. I will say I was starting to lose weight over break when I had 4 weeks off in the winter and, basically nothing to do. And it seemed much easier then. And then school started 2 weeks ago and it feels much harder all of a sudden. So I feel like it's when, life is happening.
Why does it feel harder when school is in session?
I don't know. It's really not. I'm not even, I go to campus
Yeah, don't
twice a week.
Don't be all logical with me.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. I'm trying to figure out where this thought, it's harder while I'm in school, is coming from.
I don't know. I don't know why I feel like I need so much extra time to spend on it. I spend plenty of time on my phone, on Instagram, that I could just be doing other things meal prepping. Once other things start being added into my life, which is going to happen for the rest of my life,
So how long does it take to plan? How long does it take to do your 24-hour plan?
A minute in the morning.
And how long does it take to assess it in the evening?
A minute.
Okay. And how long take to, have you listened to all the No BS modules?
I have listened to them all. I'm in the process of going through them again. So I did the
starts each day.
Roughly. I haven't been doing them each day. I kind of did
3 hours at once, which maybe is not the best approach. But.
Okay. And that's okay if you have a 3 hour time block. I think there might be one or two that actually go as long as 20 minutes. Okay. So most of them are in the 8, 10, 12 minute range, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. What's one of the basics? How long does it take to drink your water? I mean, that's just a silly question, right?
I do it all day. Yeah.
What's left is the hunger scale.
Yeah.
Right. So are you eating undistracted? Are you eating, are you emotional eating?
So, like, I've been very focused on, like, the negative too, like, figuring out when I'm hungry. And that has been very interesting to me since I've joined, because I always just, like, woke up and ate breakfast, and I've had breakfast, like, once a week since starting that, which is, like, kind of mind-blowing. But then I think, like, I don't always eat undistracted. Like, sometimes I watch TV if I'm at home. I've been trying to focus more on that this week. Sometimes I just have to eat on campus, like during class or something, if I have class for 6 hours in a row. So it kind of depends. But even if I'm in a meeting, sometimes I'll just try to like eat half and like wait until the end of the meeting to finish it or something, if I'm still hungry.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one, honestly. If you have to eat distracted, is to eat food and then wait and see how you do. If you're gaining weight somewhere, you're overeating, right?
Yeah.
So if you can figure out where that is, it's not hard, right? And it's not time consuming. The assessment you just said took 1 minute, right?
Yeah.
Meal prep can take some time. If you have time to dedicate to that, it makes the rest of the week so much easier. So it's almost like you've taken all your meal prep time and put it into one time block rather than a little bit each day. So that's really, you know, a give or take on the time scale as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're either, you know, it's either the distracted eating because you're in school, or it's overeating due to emotional reasons, right? Because you're stressed out or frantic or worried or something. But it sounds like you have, did you say you think you have the hunger side of the scale straight? Are you eating when it, I mean, you can understand it, but you can also, you know, not eat according to it. Are you eating when you're hungry?
Yes. Okay. Although it kind of threw me this week when I went back through like the first module, because it's like -2 is like a whisper of hunger. And I don't know what a whisper is, but like, I'm definitely hungry when I'm eating.
I mean, the whisper of hunger, that's kind of an existential thing. I think you just have to wait, you know, until you know you're hungry.
Yeah.
You know, the whisper of hunger is kind of hard to pinpoint, right? But if you're doing that, then you just look at the times where you are eating past satisfied.
I'm having such a hard time like identifying what those are, because sometimes I'll eat to where I think I'm satisfied, and then an hour later I'm like starving and I've like already like thrown out the rest of my lunch. I'm being dramatic. I'm like very hungry again, like hungrier than I was before I started my meal an hour ago.
Okay. So here's the thing. Emotional hunger comes on like that.
Yeah.
All right. If you think you're hungry because you're stressed out, it comes on really fast like that. Like, oh my gosh, I'm starving all of a sudden. Okay. That's when you have to sit still and say, what am I really hungry for right now? Is it food? Is it relaxation? Is it downtime? What is it? You know, am I really physically hungry right now? Because if you've just eaten a decent lunch that's supposed to keep you to 4 or 5 hours and you're starving an hour later, you're probably not physically hungry. Have I lost you? You have frozen up on me. So I'm just going to keep talking. I think I would look at that first. I'd be real intentional with looking at, you know, if you're hungry an hour after you've eaten, you know, sit down and thought download and figure out if it's true hunger. Beyond that, it's going to take some practice to figure out how much food and what kinds of food and what quality of food are going to keep you hungry until your next meal. You're back.
Sorry, I'm back. Sorry, my Wi-Fi just cut out.
That's okay.
That was so weird.
That's okay. So I was talking about two things.
Yeah.
The first being, make sure, and if you're starving an hour later, that it's physical hunger. Okay. And the way you do that is you thought down low, you know, what am I thinking and feeling right now? And is this real hunger? Just ask yourself, just be real clear with yourself. Okay. Then you look at the quality of your food. Are you, if you think you ate enough food, you know, the right kinds of food to keep you hungry, satisfied for 4 or 5 hours, then just go back and look. If you ate, let's say, for lunch, you ate an apple and you finished that apple and you were at +2. All right. You're going to be hungry an hour later, probably, or an hour and a half later, because your body is going to process that really fast. And all the sugar in that apple is going to, you know, move through your body fast, and you're going to be hungry sooner. But if you ate, a chicken breast and a side salad, and, you know, something that's a little bit more sustaining, some avocado, then you're probably, you know, if you feel like you're starving an hour later, you're going to know that that's emotional hunger. Okay. You're going to know that you have a hunger signal that's not physical, that it's in response to stress or feeling overwhelmed or something like that. Okay. So just be real clear with yourself about which type of hunger it is. And that's the emotional hunger versus the physical hunger is in the no BS success path.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, like it must be something along those lines, because I don't, especially like looking back in the last week, like there was like one night where I ate to like a +3 or +4, I feel like. I was like out to pasta, but it wasn't like consistently like throughout the week. Like I felt like I was stuffed. So maybe I thought I knew when I was hungry and I don't.
There's a hunger scale challenge next week. Every
day, okay.
You guys are going to get an opportunity to test your hunger. You know, one of the days is don't eat until lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the beautiful thing about a challenge like this is if you really pay attention every hour or so to what your body's feeling, you really start to nail things in. I can tell you, my lunch has sat back here on this bed for 2.5 hours. All right. And as I've done this call, I was a little bit hungry when I started, but as I've done this hot call, I've watched my hunger come and go. You know, I went through a time period where I wasn't hungry at all. I'm at a time period now where I'm probably at about a -3, but I'm not frantic because I know, you know, my food is just right here and it's going to stay right there until I'm ready to eat it, until it's time to eat. So once you start recognizing what your body's actual hunger signals are, you start to understand what your body is doing and you don't feel frantic about it. You don't feel like you don't know. You don't feel like it's out of control. Okay. Same thing on the plus side. So you'll get some opportunities this week to experiment with the plus side of hunger as well. You know, I think there's one time where we ask you to just eat half of your meal and throw the rest away. All right. Then you look at how long does that keep me satisfied? You know, am I at a 0 or am I really at a +2? You know, what happens to your body 30 minutes after you eat half that meal? Oh, wait, you know, maybe I've been overeating because now I feel satisfied. So I really encourage you to work through each of those hunger scale challenges and do a lot of journaling and see what you can figure out about your hunger scale.
Mm-hmm.
And then try and separate that from emotional hunger.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yes. All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, you guys, it's 2:15. So I am going to go eat my lunch that I just told you was on the bed behind me and then head back down to camp retreat. So I see there's one person with your hand, Larissa. We will be back Tuesday night. Please come see us then. Okay. I will see you all later. Okay. Bye.